grateful that you're here. As Brother Bill mentioned, we do have several of our number that are gone. They're out of town for the holiday season, and I know they'll be making their way back to us in the next few days, but we are very blessed and honored to have several who are visiting with us. And wherever you're from, you are our honored and welcome guest, and I hope that we conduct ourselves in a way around you today that you'll want to come back and be with us anytime that you have an opportunity. Just want to put in a quick plug. 2 weeks from today, we'll be having our annual Stewardship Sunday. Brother Kyle Butt is going to be here as our speaker for that day on January the 9th. And there are advertisements available for you to take if you would like to take those and invite folks to come and be with us. Also, we want to take this time to wish Megan Stringer a farewell and wish her the best in her new endeavors in life. She's going to be moving to Washington, D.C. This week, and she'll begin her work on the staff of Martha Roby. And we wish her well. I know that will open up doors of opportunity for her down the road. So this will be the last week that she'll be with us for some time. Of course, today's a special day for Jody and myself. It's our anniversary. She didn't know I was going to do this, as you can tell. We were married 23 years ago today. And of course, this is about a year before we got engaged. And I know I look about the same. She's changed some. But, you know, time can take its toll. And of course, this is my beautiful bride on her wedding day, and I still will never forgive, I don't think, the lady that took our videos. Her battery ran dead halfway through because she had done so much videoing of her grandchildren on Christmas Day. So we have about half the ceremony on our video. But anyhow, it's our anniversary today, and certainly that's my lovely bride, and I love and appreciate her so very much. This morning, we're going to talk about service. What's going to motivate us to faithfully serve the God of heaven? You know, motivation, I believe, is the key to almost every endeavor of life. You think about the difference between a good athlete and a great athlete. Many times, it's nothing but motivation. Many times the only difference between a team, an athletic team that has a significant amount of success and maybe great success is motivation. Or here's a student that maybe makes good grades, maybe makes B's, but another student on the same intellectual level makes straight A's. The difference simply is motivation. When you look at the corporate world today and you see those who are at the highest levels of the corporate world today, you're going to find at those high levels people that are highly motivated individuals. Motivation is the key. Over the next few days, many of us are going to make New Year's resolutions of various kinds, aren't we? And the key to those resolutions and keeping those resolutions is going to be how motivated we are. Ever since I went to the doctor the 1st of December, I've been highly motivated to watch what I've been eating. Did you realize I didn't have anything at all sweet to eat yesterday? It wasn't as difficult as you might think because I've been highly, highly motivated. And I think I proved that. You remember in the book of Acts when those folks burned their books of magic as a sign of repentance, that they were turning away from those things? In my automobile, I have a large envelope, and in that envelope are all kinds of coupons, food coupons. Buy one Whopper combo, get one free Whopper. Coupons like that, you know what I'm talking about. Well, when I left the doctor's office that day, I went to a garbage can and I think I felt some moisture in my eyes as I threw that envelope in the garbage can. It was difficult to do, but so far, so good. But you see, I'm highly motivated now to watch what I've been eating and to try to do better. And I think when it comes to spiritual growth, when it comes to being involved in the work of the church, we have to be highly motivated individuals. You know, this is the last time that we'll meet together on the first day of the week in the year 2010. This year has just flown by. We're now embarking on a new year. And I thought it would be very appropriate as we are at this particular time of transition to talk about some things that might motivate us as we end this year and begin a new year. Some motivations for us to be more faithful to God, to be more involved in the work of the Lord than we ever have been in days past and gone. Now, there's different things that motivate different people. And over the course of our lesson today, as well as tonight, I hope some of these things that can motivate us to be more faithful to God will help us in that resolve. May I point out, first of all, today that I think one thing that will motivate us to faithfully serve the God of heaven would be to realize that we are a part of a great cause. By that I mean, as individuals, we need to realize that we must have an active part in. That we are involved in something worthwhile. We are involved in something that is extremely important. In our lives today, we need to feel like that our lives are worth living. Now, I want to ask you this morning, as I ask myself, do you really have a worthwhile purpose to your existence? Do you feel like that you've got a real sense of accomplishment? As you look back on your life today, as you reflect maybe on these past few months, think for a moment this morning. What do you find? Is there something more meaningful in your life than just working 8 hours a day? Is there something more meaningful to your life than just your job? Is there more meaning to your life than your educational endeavors, your schoolwork, your social life, and things of that nature? We need to realize if we come into this life and we live and we eventually die and we're forgotten and there's been no real purpose in our lives, I ask you, have we not lived our life in vain? But if we can somehow look back and say, you know, I've been involved in some things that were very important. I've been involved in glorifying God by the way in which I've lived. I've tried to use my talents and my endeavors to build up the kingdom of Christ. I ask you, have we not then found the purpose, the true purpose of our existence? You see, we need to determine today that we're going to be an active soldier in the army of Almighty God. That we're going to be a citizen in that most powerful kingdom, the church of the living God. That we're going to be an active member of that blood-bought body of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that there are many, many things that take up our time. There's a lot of things that occupy our schedule. But I think if you stop and look at those things in most cases are just commonplace. But I really believe today that if we could just stop and if we could make the church the kingdom of God an active part of our lives, that wherever we go on our jobs, as we are doing our housework, as we're involved in our school activities and recreational activities, if we could make the kingdom of God the central and the most important aspect of our lives, it would just transform every activity that we engage in into a real meaningful experience. You see, we need to realize there's more to life than just working 8 hours a day. We need to have in our minds, first of all, that we are a citizen in the Lord's kingdom, that we are Christians, that we have to bear fruit, that we have influence, and we have to use our lives to bring glory to God and to do what we can to advance the kingdom of God. I and you need to feel like that we are a part of something important, that we are part of something that is extremely valuable. And when I go to my job, when I prepare my homework for school, when I go off to exposure, as 40 plus of us will do tomorrow, whatever I do, wherever I am, it doesn't really matter. I need to realize that, first of all, I'm going to be influencing other people for Jesus Christ by the way in which I live. Because you see, I'm a part of something very, very important. Something for which Jesus Christ gave his life. May I suggest, though, in the second place, that another motivation to faithfully serve the God of heaven would be, I believe, the greatness and the goodness of God. Gratitude for all the things that God has given us ought to motivate us to serve him to the best of our ability. We could just stop and look around us today and see the marvelous handiwork of God. We need to be thankful for everything that God has done. You know, there's God's watchful providence, and we are assured that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We need to be thankful for his grace and for his mercy, Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. The Bible talks about and describes the abundant mercy of God in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and in Psalms 136 over and over again. The Bible says his mercy endures forever. So many things for which to be thankful. James 1 and verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Just think about the fact that you and I are even here today. Think about the fact that we have air to breathe. We have one more day that God has given us to live. I can't help but think about what transpired in most of our homes yesterday. You think about the abundance of food that people partook of, the enjoyment of family and friends. You think about the gifts that were given, the gifts really, I guess, that we expected if we were honest with ourselves. God has blessed us materially. He's blessed us financially. Most of all, God has blessed us spiritually. You think about the blessings of health, the blessings of family, the blessing of food, all the homes that we live in, the cars that we drive. If we could just stop and pause and look round about us and see what God has done, particularly in sending his son to die for us, I believe an attitude of gratitude will motivate us to put God first in everything that we do. A third thing, though, that I might suggest this morning that can motivate us to faithful service, if we could just realize that every one of us, without exception, are stewards of the God of heaven. Everything that we claim to own today, everything that we say that is ours, we have these things only because we're stewards. That involves the fact that we're living in time. I want to ask you just a moment. Think about all the things that you own or your family owns. You think about your house or your property, other things such as this. 150 years from right now, what would that be? 2,160, if the world's still standing? In the year 2,160, who is going to own the things that you now claim to own? I know you won't own them. You'll be in eternity. I know Jim Russell and I were out visiting the other day, and I don't know how the subject came up, but he mentioned when he started working in the Postal Service in 1966, that at that particular time, there were government checks in 1966 still being sent to six wives of Civil War veterans. Now, that may not be astounding to you, but it certainly was to me. But even if we're blessed maybe to live a long life, our lives are still brief. We came into this world with nothing, and we will go out of this world with nothing. And while we're here, we're only stewards of everything that God has given us. That's why the Bible admonishes us in Colossians 4 and verse 5 to redeem the time. You know, every one of us has been given 24 hours a day. 168 hours during the week, and not one of us has the right to squander our time. I think about the physical bodies that God has blessed us with, and people say today, you know, I have the right to use my body any way that I please. Isn't that the major argument that those who advocate pro-choice and abortion, isn't that their main argument? It's my body. I have the right to do with my body whatever I please. No, you don't. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own. This body is not yours. It's been given to you as a trust. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. I believe that's one of the strongest motivations for our young people to remain sexually pure. I'm not my own. I can't do with this body what I want to do. I can't just fulfill the lusts of this body. This body doesn't belong to me. It's been given to me as a trust from God. And therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body. And so our bodies themselves are that over which we're only stewards. We don't have the right of control, the right of decision. Therefore, we ought not to do those things that would harm our physical bodies. Or I think about money. You think about material things. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14, all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee. We're just stewards of the money that God has given us. Or what about the gospel? You know, the gospel has been entrusted into our care. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. In other words, the gospel itself has been committed to our care. And if we don't do the job of sharing the good news, that job is not going to get done. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Yes, if we could just stop and realize today that I'm only a steward. I don't own anything. I have time entrusted into my care. I have my body. I have my energy. I have my influence. All these things are not mine. They've been given to me to use in the service of God. I think the fact that I'm a steward and understanding what's involved in that will motivate us to faithful service. But I want to suggest that as we close this morning, that another thing that will motivate us to faithful service is the fact that we need to love our children. We need to be concerned for our families. Now, if we care about our families, if we care about our children, I believe we're going to want to faithfully serve the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." And we need to realize that our children, in almost every case, will grow up and they're going to become just what we as parents have taught them to be. And if we're somewhat lax in our zeal for the Lord, if we're somewhat hesitant to become involved in the work of the Lord, we really don't need to be surprised that as our children grow up, that they're going to become the same way. Children will invariably follow the pattern that they have seen in their parents. Over in Luke 1:66, the question is asked, "What manner of child shall this be?" And brethren, the manner of child that you and I have in most cases will be what we've taught those children to be. Suppose we don't show our children the importance of studying God's Word. Well, they're going to get the lasting impression that, you know, God's Word really isn't all that important. Or suppose we as parents find that, you know, it's really not all that important to come to Bible class on Sunday morning, or maybe Sunday night comes along and, you know, there's other things going on. Maybe company drops in, or, you know, there's many things that might come up, and it'll be all right if we don't go to church on Sunday night. Wednesday comes along and you're tired, you've worked hard all day, you just want to kind of collapse on the sofa, you want to rest, and I just don't feel like going to Bible class. We're saying to our children and to our families louder than any verbal words could ever speak that worshiping God in spiritual things are really not the most important things. We need to realize the lasting impression we're making on our children. I've known children who have grown up and their parents were just nominally members of the Lord's church. You know, they went sometime all of their lives, and it's amazing to observe how that those children, in almost every case, are just like their parents. And so, parents, I submit to you today that if we love our families, grandparents, if we love our children and our grandchildren, I believe a love for our families and our children in particular will motivate us to faithful service. Suppose in your family somebody is just constantly criticizing the elders, talking about the deacons, condemning the preachers, saying something negative about our Bible classes and the Bible school program, always negatively talking about some aspect of the Lord's church. Suppose your children grow up in that kind of an atmosphere. I ask you, what kind of influence is the church ever going to have in the lives of those children? While those children will grow up and they won't respect the elders, they won't respect the deacons or the preachers or the Bible school teachers or anybody else in the Lord's church. If we're going to be faithful to God, one thing that can motivate us in that endeavor is to love our children. I think about Timothy and the love that he had from his mother and his grandmother. And Paul could say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "And that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation." And yet, parents, if you and I somehow live in such a way that leads us to be lost on that last and final day, the chances are pretty good that we may lead our own children in that same direction. And so I want to stop and I want to ask myself, maybe you need to ask yourself, where am I leading my children? Am I leading my children toward the glories of heaven or by my influence, by my example? Am I leading them down the path to eternal destruction? I don't know of anything that could motivate us anymore to be right, to do right, to be obedient, to be involved in the work of the Lord, than the love and concern we need to have for our families. There's a lot of other things that can motivate us. We're going to talk about some of these other things tonight. But as we come to the close of this service, and as we come